Welcome to the Mosh Pit, your home for unsigned punk, rock, and metal artists, where your music goes to be heard.
This is Shandy Insanity, and you're listening to the Mosh Pit.
Welcome to the Mosh Pit, your host, Wes Everett, with his awesome co-host, AJ, and Soundcheck.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
We got an awesome interview tonight. Hello. We've got Mr. Mark with Shocklore. And the rest of the band, if you guys want to introduce yourselves.
Yeah.
I'm James.
After you, sir.
After me. I'm James, the, I guess you call me the yeller, the screamer.
Old yeller, that's a book.
Yep.
And I'm Jimmy, guitar player and bass.
Hey, guys, I'm Mark.
All right. Cool. Good to have you guys on.
We're glad to be here. We've been looking forward to this, man. Thanks for having us.
Hey, we have too, man. We have too. So let's just start from the beginning. How did Shocklore come together as a band with the new lead singer there?
I'll start and then Jimmy or James just jump in wherever you feel you want to jump in. It started as more of a concept than a band, and quite a few of us grew up together playing hardcore in the South Bay in Southern California, and we were all kind of like in and out of different bands together, playing different instruments and all kinds of that, stuff pretty much most of our adult lives. And then when we decided to bring Shocklore back together again and actually do new material and remaster the old stuff, it was more of like, kind of a series of conversations between Jim and myself and Eric and myself, and then we brought James in a little bit later. So Jim, you want to tell him something about us? He always has a different version. Everybody has a different version. So
that pretty much covers it. It's just this big conglomerate of folks, from South Bay. We had different bands for years, and we just threw a bunch of material out around the table. And
as far as me, man, I played with Jimmy and another band called Full Size, and they already pretty much played for years in the South Bay, and invited me over one day and just said, hey, can you say something vile in front of that microphone? So I started screaming out a bunch of obscenities and some really nasty stuff. And voila, 10 years later, we were still doing it. And man, it's kind of a nice big blur, but it was fun. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, and so just to give you that, guys, an idea, this is Mark again from that conglomerate Jimmy was talking about. So, just to kind of illustrate that, the guy who was in the band full size with Jimmy and James on guitar actually wrote a Shock War song, and so did, you know, Jimmy wrote about half of them, and then there were other parts from other guys that we took and just all, you know, kind of meshed it all together. And there have been many members throughout the years, but it's all kind of one common thread and one common thread of music, and just really cut our teeth on, stuff like old, like really, really old Metallica, DRI, Circle Jerks, Bad Religion, Rudimentary Peni, SOD, Slayer, and just kind of that's really what Shock War came out to be. It's just a big mishmash of all those different influences.
That's awesome. What would you guys say is the reason, you know, behind the name Shock Lore itself? Can you take us through, you know, that naming process?
Can I take this one?
Yeah, go right ahead, man.
So I actually came up with that one a long time ago. It was basically, you know, you've heard the term folklore before, right? And we were just kind of, I don't know, just talking a bunch of crap, and I said, hey, that'd be cool if we just called it Shock Lore instead of folklore.
I love it too.
With the shock.
Why shock in particular, though?
I don't know. It just sounded cool, huh, Jim?
I think I was trying to be like really avant-garde.
Yeah. Can you guys kind of tell us about Static Audacity and like what you guys were thinking about when you created this song and wrote the lyrics?
Yeah, I can take that one. So we used to be in another band, and again, like I said, we kind of borrowed different songs from, you know, different bands we've been in and made them Shock Lore songs, and this happens to be one of those. So we already had the music written with Jimmy actually playing bass on this one, and another fellow that isn't here right now played guitar on that one, and we never had any vocals for it, and it was just kind of hanging around. And over the last year, I mean, you guys, just like everybody else in the entire world, has been through this friggin' pandemic, man, and all the upheaval, you know, in our social platforms and stuff that's gone on. It's just kind of, you know, when I wrote the lyrics, if that's what you're asking mainly, it was more as kind of like a big, you know, one finger salute back at 2020.
Yeah. I can get behind that.
Yeah.
I can get behind that. So I like the way you guys create, though, because what a lot of people don't realize is on a creative level, when you have that hodgepodge of different recording artists, it's way more fun because it's like a big jam session.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's.
Oh well. So I mean, I think what he was gonna say is that really pretty much that was what our, you know, adolescence and post adolescence and most of our adulthood's been like. It's just a series of really good bands that are all consisting of the same members playing different instruments, and they all bring something different to the table. And, you know, from a songwriting perspective and from a style perspective.
Yeah. It's amazing. It's really nice to hear too. And you can hear how much fun and just, you know, carefree you guys are through the music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what it's about, huh, James?
Yeah, we're just getting into writing some new stuff, so I'm gonna make it exciting. At least give it a shot, you know. I really don't say much. I'm the quiet one of the bunch, so
He said, which is ironic because he screams for us.
Well, I don't have much to say unless I'm yelling.
What do they say? It's the quiet ones you got to watch out for?
Yeah.
I reckon so.
So you guys just, you guys recently, you know, remastered your first album, you know, Volume 1. You know, what was it like re-recording and getting back in the studio again and working on these tracks again?
It was really like a stroll down memory lane for me. This is Mark. It was, you know, just a lot of the old stuff that we revisited. And I never really, when we first really did this recording, the reason this actually says remasters is because, you know, the first recording we did in the studio, this like back in the 90s, real. And the whole, you know, outfit, like it was like a total glam rock studio. And it, we got mixed like a glam rock band because of that. And we didn't know enough to like say no, like, and, you know, pipe up at the time. So never was really. Yeah.
Hey, there. Never. That dude, wasn't that dude's claim to fame that he recorded Eye of the Tiger or something like that?
Yeah, so the guy who was our engineer, Jim's correct, the guy who was our engineer was the guy who recorded Survivor, Eye of the Tiger, and that's kind of how our records got mixed, so if you can imagine, you know. He recorded it really well, really good engineer, but the guy just was never recording anything but glam band. So when we got back into, or I got back into the studio to remaster it, there were also some tunes that we weren't so happy with as far as, you know, vocals and not having any vocals. And there were a couple instrumentals that actually became actual songs through this. And, you know, so yeah, it was great. It was a fun process. And we got to, you know, get back together and really get enthused about it and enthused about starting to write again.
That's awesome. What would you guys say is your favorite track, you know, even still in 2021 off this album?
You guys want to take that one first, or one of you?
Shit, that's a tough one. I've been listening to this album for like 20 years now, and I listened to it before I actually joined the band, so it was like I've been rocking this album for 20 years, so I don't really have one to pick, man. That's it's a crazy one, you know, because I like them all different, you know.
Right.
It's no, yeah. I like Will, you know, the song that Mark wrote.
The opening.
Especially because I'm going through sobriety right now, working on that. So that song means a lot to me right now. So
yeah, willpower comes in handy there.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so why I said everything was a blur.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So I have a question. If you guys want to answer it one at a time, it would be great. But if you could collaborate with one artist, dead or alive, who would it be?
Go ahead, Jim. I know who yours is going to be.
At first I was going to say Frank Sinatra, but I think I want to change that to Dimebag Darrell.
There you go. the chairman and Dimebag, two you know, like-minded musicians, if I ever heard of one, you know.
Hey, they do.
They do it their way. How about you, Jay?
How about Dave Dichter from MDC? You know?
There you go.
No, I really don't know. I love so many damn bands. It's not. I can't even pick one. That's a bad thing about it. You know, I grew up listening to Black Flag and, you know, Dead Kennedys, SOD. It's like, hell, I'd love to collaborate with the. Damn it! What the hell's his damn name? Scott Ian from
Oh yeah, the guitar player for Anthrax and SOD. Yeah,
God, I thought he was still alive.
Me of Chuck. Yeah, he's still alive. He said dead or alive.
Oh, okay. I thought it was dead.
You said dead or alive.
So for me, guys,
yeah, I don't think anybody does anymore. For me, this is Mark. It would be if I had to collaborate with. I'm thinking like I have to think as a drummer, so it would probably be you know, a guitar player, but that's really hard. I would have loved to have played with Jeff Hanneman from Slayer. That would have been really cool. And you know, and just have you guys heard of the English punk band Rudimentary Penis?
I haven't.
Okay, you guys got to check those guys out. But maybe when you guys actually get this, you know, edited or whatever, you can throw a Rudy song in there. I'll send you one to play. It's bad. They're a badass band. But
Police Oppression from Angelic Upstarts.
There you go.
Anybody heard of the Angelic Upstarts?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but for me, it would be just be either Jeff Hanneman or the band, the whole friggin' band, Rudimentary Penis, just awesome punk band.
We're all over the place.
Yep. I mean, there's a ton. I could think of like five. I don't know about you guys, but I could think of more than one, or, you know.
I mean, it's like, it's hard to, because it's like such an open-ended question. It's hard to answer because there, it could be dead or alive.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Or a zombie.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Rob Zombie.
I knew it. I was waiting for it.
I know. Where's the but I'm...
We'll have that in post. So, getting back to your music, tell us a little bit about Static Audacity, about the song that you released.
So it used to be like I said, you remember the conglomerate thing about all the different bands and different players. So we had a band, like it was kind of a joke punk band called Flappy Curtain in the 90s. And it's what you think. Don't, it's disgusting. But yeah, it's probably more disgusting than you think. But at any rate, I played drums for that band, and Jimmy played bass, and another friend of ours, Charles Morrell, Chuck, he played guitar, and that song used to be called something else. And what we found out was, like I said before, it was kind of one that never had lyrics, but the reason it didn't have lyrics is because when we recorded it, the singer, we found out, like, when it was his turn to record, all he'd been doing is, like, yelling random things into the microphone during the whole song. Every time we played it live, we thought he had, like, full lyrics for it. All he had was, like, a chorus out of the whole song, so it never got lyrics put to it, but I always regretted never having, you know, published that tune, Static Audacity, which was a former Flappy Curtain song. And then, like I said, once I heard it and I knew we needed new material, you know, I was like, called the guy up who engineered it and said, can we take it? Do you have a problem with it? He's like, nope, sent us all the stem files. And we went back in the studio, recorded new vocals for it, and, you know, and remastered it and came out great.
So I have an interesting question for you guys. What would you say is your favorite piece of band merch that you've ever bought for yourself?
Like my Down t-shirt and backstage pass to a Down concert. That was pretty badass.
Nice.
Yeah. I got a Rush R40 football jersey. That's my claim. That's my favorite piece of band merch.
Oh, sick.
Yeah. My favorite one would be Dez Cadena from Black Flag for my birthday gave me an Everything Went Black CD. So I didn't have to actually purchase it.
Yeah. That's always better.
I think my favorite was a signed copy of Fozzy.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yep. I actually saw the last Rush show ever.
Oh, did you?
At the Forum, yeah. Yep.
Dang.
I was there. Yeah.
I'm jealous.
Pretty cool.
What was that like, though?
It was like, because they were one of my favorite bands growing up, obviously, because of the drum thing. But, I mean, just because they're amazing musicians on top of it. But, for the last decade or so, I've been going with another friend of mine in California that, you know, we'd see like both shows every time they came. And so that was like really, it was like, you really like sensed it in the air. It was like the last one they were ever going to play together. They didn't even go to Europe that year.
Wow.
But cool little tidbit factoid, I have like a friend in LA that warehouses all the band's equipment. Like when big bands come into LA, it's in the San Fernando Valley, some nondescript warehouse down there. And, you know, people like Kiss and Def Leppard and Blink-182 and, you know, Slayer and Rush and Van Halen, all like every band you can think of, like, you know, keeps their equipment there. And I happen to know this guy, and he let me in and sit on Neil Peart's drum set at night. Wow. So that was pretty fun and cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Did you get photo evidence?
I just took pictures and like, you know, totally geeked out. It was funny.
Good.
Did you fart on the drum throne?
No, I wouldn't dare.
I wouldn't do that either. That's disrespectful.
So that brings me into my next question is obviously Rush is a big influence, but when you were first getting into music, who was your big inspirations? What really drove you all to learn the instruments and have the countless hours of practice?
I'll start. So I found my dad's guitar in my grandparents' garage, and he goes, oh, cool, you want to play guitar? So he showed me like a couple old Venture songs, you know, like old surf tunes. And I got a little better. I absolutely had to be like Eddie Van Halen. I wanted to be able to play like him so bad. I fucking spent hours upon hours trying to, you know, learn his riffs and stuff like that. So, you know, just mostly guitar stuff like that.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, you can play like him too. Crazy.
Jimmy was actually the first guy I knew in our age group that could play Eruption all the way through.
Nice.
And for me, it was definitely, you know, at least a little bit Rush. But I was into bands like, you know, Zeppelin and Van Halen in the very early 80s when they were first breaking. And I was into a lot of, you know, the good 80s metal when it was just breaking and coming over from Europe, like the good Maiden albums like Killers and Priest album, like Screaming for Vengeance, and the ones before that, and even the Scorpions had a Blackout out there at the time. So I was like, that was what I cut my teeth on, that kind of stuff. But I have to say, the main thing that influenced me to play the drums was the first time I heard Moving Pictures by Rush. I was just like, I got to do this. I want to be that guy. You know?
Yeah.
And that was same, kind of the same with Jim.
Myself.
Did you guys hear our train?
Oh, you're training, yeah.
I
think it is. Yeah. We used to live right behind one of those, man.
I think it adds aesthetic to our podcast.
There you go.
Okay, the question.
James, what about you?
What was the question? Oh, myself? Inspiration?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I think I was listening to The Process of Weeding Out from Black Flag, the live album, when I was younger, and like tons of DRI growing up, SOD. And basically one night getting really drunk at a party, and the singer was already passed out for the band that was playing, and I just jumped up there and just kind of took over. Kind of happened by accident. So every time I got near a mic, when I had a couple beers in me, I'd start yelling at it, you know? And it just took off from there. Yeah.
Yeah, the rest is history.
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, that made me think of, like, when you asked about inspiration and stuff. I mean, there was, for me, I don't know about you, Jim, but there was, like, musically, there was that whole rock and roll, like, you know, progressive rock, heavy metal thing. But then there was a whole nother influence when we started listening to hardcore and punk rock, and that it just took me to a completely different place in music than I'd ever been. So if I had to say who inspired me there, it would be Dave Lombardo for sure.
Definitely.
Yeah.
He's like probably my favorite thrash drummer ever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think. Yeah, for me, you know, I grew up in a household full of music. My dad had literal like crates full of vinyl records that he played. He used to DJ parties and stuff, and you know, so I always had music around me. But like Mark, you know, once you started hearing thrash and hardcore stuff, I'd have to say early Black Flag was my like tipping point. I'm like, oh my God, this is radical. I got to do this.
Was that pre or post Circle Jerk Singer?
Post. Well, but actually, uh-huh. I started listening to all of it at about the same time.
Yeah, you guys knew that, right? The old singer for Circle Jerks used to sing for Black Flag back in the day.
From Keith Morris.
Keith Morris.
Yep. Yep.
Was he like a Darren? Did he just get replaced?
He left, didn't he, Jim?
Yeah, he goes, I'm gonna go start a new band called the Circle Jerks.
Yeah. But that first album, Group Sex, has got to be one of the best punk albums ever, man.
Jealous Man was a badass album.
Yeah.
That's about when Dez took over after Keith left, right? Or was it Bob Reyes?
That was Chavo Pederast.
Chavo Pederast?
Yeah.
A lot of singers.
I think that was nice. Ron Reyes, but he went by the name Chavo Pederast. Oh, yeah. Look up Pederast in the dictionary.
So, yeah, does that answer your question, guys? Sorry about that. We kind of went
off there. No, we like rants. We like rants.
No, you're fine. Yeah, exactly.
So you guys have been in multiple different bands over course of years at this point. What would you say is your top five venues to play?
You probably played out more than all of us, man. How about you go first on this one?
So I don't know. So the whole Hollywood Sunset Strip thing is that was such bullshit, you know, like you were supposed to be like, you know, king shit if you played there. And it wasn't even like that. They treated all the bands. So the more fun places to play were like hole in the wall clubs where you had people packed in like sardines. A place called Susie down in Hermosa Beach. It was always a lot of fun to play. I played there a bunch of times. That's just one that comes off the top of my head. There were a couple places in our hometown of El Segundo that I can't even believe they let us play there, but we played there. And
Stickenstein?
Yeah. Remember that Stickenstein gig, dude? When they ran out of beer mugs. So many fucking people there, they ran out of beer mugs. And, you know, those are always the fun ones where there's no pretentiousness. It's like, oh, well, you know, you've hit the big time because you're on the stage at the Whiffle.
Right.
None of that kind of. It's always those little hole in the wall ones that are the funnest ones.
Totally.
Yeah, you remember the Crest when we went to the Crest and they offered to pay us in beer and we were like, oh, you guys are gonna regret it, and you got pissed because we basically drank all his profit. He was like, what the hell, you guys? We were only gonna pay you like a couple hundred bucks and you guys drink $1,000 with alcohol. What the hell?
Brothers, mom.
Yeah, so, we visited all kinds of little killer little places like they're talking about, just like up and down the South Bay. And they fit, I mean, a good, I don't know, there's Hermosa Saloon is another one I was thinking of, Jimmy. And when Floppy Curtain played there, we, same thing. I mean, they were like turning people away at the door, and it was like 300 capacity, and there was probably about 75 people outside or something. And those kind of shows are the ones I remember, when everybody's just like full on packed in, and like, you know, it's all like really just, you know, just totally raw like that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I'm kind of going with that. Go ahead.
So, what do you think your biggest accomplishments would be from then to now?
Staying alive.
Good song.
Yeah. That's a good one, man. Actually, it's funny, but it's true, man. I mean, if you had asked me, like, you know, coming up, what if I was going to live, like, how long I was going to live, I would have, like, thought 40 was huge. So, you know, it's like, yeah, man. I mean, but other than that, really, you know, over the years, I mean, lots of things. Mm-hmm. What do you guys think? I mean, in all seriousness, I can think of a ton of things.
Shit, can't remember, to be honest with you. My greatest accomplishment? Living it up a day at a time. No.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, I think, and I'm not just schmoozing or anything, I'm not blowing smoke. This is a pretty good accomplishment that we're getting, you know, some kind of recognition by people who don't even know who the hell we are. We never played in front of them. And, you know, I'm talking about you guys, and that's really cool that people like this music. Just because they heard, because they're our friends and they have like a subjective, you know, point of view or whatever.
Right.
You know, and I mean, because I basically played for 40 years. And ever since I started playing, I've been playing in bands everywhere from, you know, my school to like the Hollywood Strip to Arizona to Northern California. And it's like, you know, I didn't make it big, but I got to go out and play a bunch of different places. And that was a lot of fun. But it's really cool to get the recognition from people that you don't know, winning over new people that just don't even know you from Adam. You know, that's a really cool thing.
I agree, Jim. And it's like, you know, and with stuff that we wrote over 20 years, you know, I mean, like over the course of 20 years, and it's like, it just, that it's like really resonating now is like particularly, you know, cool for me as well. And I would actually, now that you say that, Joe, I would call it an accomplishment as well. And you know, just that people are resonating with it, I can see now, because I'm kind of the one who does most of the media for the band, that there's a void in that, you know, particular type of music that just, I mean, there have been so many subgenres in the last, you know, decade or two that, like, what real hardcore has just kind of got lost in there somewhere, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And
absolutely.
So it's refreshing to see people like really take, you know, sit up and take notice and go, hey man, this is the old shit, this is the good shit, man, we're digging this, and like, you know, people tell us about it, so it's really cool.
And not getting booed off stage.
Hey, that would be good.
That's an accomplishment.
That's a plus.
Yeah, that's good. Always good to not get booed off.
Not to get tomatoes thrown at you, yeah.
I don't know. If tomatoes get introduced to a mosh, do you think they'd even get thrown?
Well, you know what? Actually, I could think of a couple of shows. We played a show for this band called Moisture Grind that we were in. And there were people throwing shit at us from the mosh pit. So, I mean, they're good, not because they didn't like us, but because they did. So, I mean, there you go.
Hey, throw the tomatoes, throw them.
No, we actually did a Halloween gig one year, and we dressed up, you know, as like Mexican dudes with like sombreros and ponchos, and so we had bags of oranges and tortillas, and people were hucking oranges and tortillas all over the inside of this club. The place was a total mess. There's orange all over the place.
There's a story behind that too. We had a song called Mexico Trip, and so in California, basically, there's this, I mean, it's well known. It's this thing called Montezuma's Revenge. When you go down to Mexico, and you know, don't drink the water kind of thing. It's like, that's a real thing. And so, like, we had a song called Mexico Trip, and it was, you know, kind of a like a you know, play on that song that we actually wore that. But what was even funnier was that the band after us, or the Abductors, another group of friends of ours, brought these like gelatin brains on stage and then like started throwing those out everywhere. So it was like, it was just like a freaking mess of like orange tortilla and like gelatin brains everywhere.
Total nightmare.
Well, it starts out when you're on your way home and your stomach starts to turn. You think of all those beans you've eaten and your ass starts to burn. I won't sing the rest.
This is a true story. I still have some of that shit left on some of my mic cords from all the way back then.
That's cool.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Oh, wow. Yep,
I do, Jim. I still have some of those mic cords. Yep.
Nice.
That's like a coffee table. I think I still might have a little bit of puke on part of it. I went out drinking with my boss, and my boss came back to my house and puked on my coffee table.
Oh my God.
Oh, nice.
So,
sorry, AJ. What would you guys say is your favorite CD to play while you're just taking a cruise in your car?
Ooh, good question.
So mine, this is Mark. I don't really play CDs much, but what I do is, I got, like, there's so many killer Spotify playlists out there now that I'll pick one of my favorite, you know, Spotify playlists and put that on, or I'll make one and, you know, put that on. No, that's really fine.
Yeah.
What about you guys?
Holy crap. My favorite thing to jam to driving down the road. I love like some Sublime. I love Sepultura. I love Damn. That's a hard one.
Yeah, that's tough. That's like, you know, who's your major influences? That's really hard. I mean, you know, I could throw in a Down CD. I could throw on a Pantera CD. I could throw on Fu Manchu. You know, there's so many killer CDs. That's impossible to even.
I love this question because, you know, I was like totally waiting for one of you guys to pull out some Spice Girls or something.
Well, no, you know,
I'll pull out some Creed.
I'll give you a couple though. Check it out. Like for a total hardcore, you know, band. I mean, like you wouldn't think I would listen to this, but probably. But you're just sort of a band called Scapegoat Wax, by any chance?
Actually, it does sound familiar.
Okay, Scapegoat Wax. That's a really obscure one for you. Masters of Reality. Ever heard of them?
Killer.
Yeah.
So that would be another one. And then have you guys heard of King's X?
King's X.
I haven't.
Prog metal band from Texas. Really good. Like around during Nirvana and Pearl Jam era, that kind of thing. So yeah, I listen to all kinds of shit, like obscure shit, all the way up to, you know, stuff that would be, I guess, considered sort of popular. But I don't know. It just depends on my mood. Yeah,
I mean,
I'm sure everybody's like that, but
it depends on what CD I have in my car.
Listen to Hank Williams III today. You know, so
yeah,
you still got an 8-track, don't you, Jim?
No, I moved up to cassette, but
then 8 minutes. I was guilty of Michael Jackson as a kid.
a little bit of Rock With You by Michael Jackson. Yeah.
How about some Nucleus Jam on it?
Yeah. So, yeah.
Anybody remember that song?
Jackets. Yeah.
Herbie so Hancock.
Atlanta. That was an awesome era. And then you ever heard of a band called Black Landlords?
Mm-hmm.
Really good band, and from Maryland, like really kind of world famous in Maryland, but they recorded quite a bit. And they're kind of like Cake, actually.
Oh, nice. I would probably like them.
Yeah, you would. If check them out. They're awesome. That's another band that I've been getting into lately, too. It's kind of like a hybrid of, like, you know, sort of rap, but with really good funk in the background, you know, like a really good groove.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like hybrids.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of what we are, actually. Speaking of hybrids, that's the best word for Shocklore, really, is we're a hybrid between, like, every single influence we've ever had, you know.
We're a hybrid of hardcore and thrash.
Yeah. And Frank Sinatra.
So going back to what AJ said earlier about when you guys like form a unique bond with the band and you guys jam together in the studio, it's more of a, you know, fun interaction versus a very stressful situation. So can you take us through that process for you guys a little bit more? Like, what's it like in the studio with Shocklore?
We had a blast in the studio, Jim, didn't we?
Yeah, there's not really any stress involved with that. I mean, I've been in stressful situations in the studio before, like not very often, but maybe one or two times. And with this project, it's never been about that. It's just about, you know, going in there, making music and having a good time.
Yep. And we had quite a bit of fun in the studio when we were recording. I just remember, like, you know, just spending, I mean, because we did, I think, what did we do, like a 3-week lockout or something, Jim? Something like that?
It's all a little blurry, a little foggy.
Yeah, it was like a 3-week lockout. And you know, every time we've ever recorded anything together, actually, even outside of Shocklore, again, you know, it's been us and this core group of us for the, you know, 20 years or more, probably more, like 30. So it's never really uncomfortable. Like Jim said, it's just really getting together, writing good music, the best music we can, you know, do and based on our influences, and then having a good time doing it, not stressing about it.
Okay, but the only thing, one thing that I don't like, though, and James James can attest to this, because when we were recording Full Size, the engineer had porn up on the TV while we're recording. and then I was working on another project with a different band, a band called the Bourbon Saints, and when we recorded, the engineer did the same thing. I personally don't like that. Like, I don't want to sit in a room full of dudes with porn on them.
It was exciting.
I could tell.
Yeah.
Sorry, that's hilarious. Freaking funny. Yeah.
I was over in the sound booth, kind of going, "Ooh, oh my god."
Yeah, fingers.
I'm totally cheesing.
And so do you guys? I know you're gonna play Full Size in during a part of the show. So another good segue into Full Size, that one of the things they're talking about, James was the singer for Full Size, but what you didn't probably know is that Jimmy here was the drummer for Full Size.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like ambidextrous or something.
Something like that.
Yeah. He's
we recorded that album in like 2 hours.
So here's a fun one.
Really good. Go ahead.
Sorry. Here's a fun one for you guys. What's the craziest thing that you guys have ever done for music in general?
That is fun.
I think I spent like $4,000 on an amplifier head. That's pretty crazy.
Yikes.
Shit. What about you, James?
I was trying to remember. It was all a blur. Fuck.
James' entire musical career is a blur.
What happens is I got sober, then all of a sudden I can't remember anything. So I have to probably drink something and I'll probably be able to remember it all.
What was yours again, Jim?
Nah, I was kind of just joking. I spent way too much money on equipment, but I think you know, the craziest thing was just like being so blasted too many times and being lucky that I made it back home after a gig, shit like that.
Oh hell yeah!
Oh yeah! Oh my god! I tried getting the keys from you a couple times. It was like going, dude, don't drive. We almost went over the freeway interchange. It was crazy. It was great times coming back from Hollywood.
Yeah, and then God forbid you drive down the wrong street in Hollywood too. I mean, yeah, I can think of a lot of crazy things that happened. But I mean, the craziest thing I ever did, probably the thing that I would never want to do again. And I mean, the you know, joys of youth. But you know, we went and played at Gilman Street in Oakland, and we drove down there like from Southern California to Northern California. That's like driving the entire East Coast basically. And did it all in this crappy van with no seats and no like nothing, just equipment and metal. And it was like 17 hours or some crazy shit like that to play one show and then turn around and like, you know, and come home. It's a weirdest thing. But Gilman Street's a really famous club down there, like really, really famous hardcore club, and we got actually a live album out of it, so it was cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's really awesome.
Yeah. Well, guys, what up? What are your three goals for Shocklore for this year, 2021?
Oh, I can tell you what I would most like to see, and I think we're all in agreement with this one, is just to get us, we're in the process of I think we've got three or four songs, you know, aside from Static Audacity, which we'll probably re-record in a better studio and put on the actual album as a, you know, part of the Volume 2. But I'm looking forward to getting some new stuff recorded and out there for y'all to hear.
Awesome.
Yeah, same here. So looking to get in the studio. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm on the same boat there. I've one of the things that I've always sort of lamented about over the years is that, you know, we were talking about a hodgepodge of all these different, you know, influences and people, you know, coming in and out of the band over the years, I always thought that there was, you know, a lack of like cohesiveness because of that. And, you know, so one of my goals is to, you know, encourage, you know, new production, make new music and produce new music, but sort of make it sound like it's all coming from the same place as opposed to coming from like 10,000 different places.
Right. It's kind of like that thing that Van Halen had, and there are a couple other bands who've had it where you recognize the sound immediately, but you can't quite place where mm-hmm. you heard it before.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You hear like 10 different bands in there that you really love, but then you can't really put your finger on one of them. That's kind of what Shocklore is going mm-hmm. morphing into. And like Jim said, just to get tighter and do that. And now that we have all the technology we have, I mean, we all have good studio software and a decent, you know, way to record, so we can even record remotely too. So that's nice.
So is there, before we wrap up here, is there anything that you guys would like to promote or let people know your social media handles?
I don't know if I sent you guys our link tree, but we have a website called www.shocklore.com, and that one has pretty much all the information you'd need. But there's a ton of, I mean, we're on Spotify, SoundCloud, Bandcamp, Sister Kid, just about everywhere, like, you know, Apple Music, iHeartRadio, Pandora, anywhere you can get digital music, we're there. So and then we're also in the final stages of production of a video for the song Falling, which is, I guess, if you played it side to side instead of a CD, that would be the first song on the second side, kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're all in post-production for that in the video phase, and that should be out sometime, I'm guessing before the middle of the year.
Sweet. Well, we had a lot of fun talking to you, and you guys always have a home here on the pit. So if you ever have any new music or whatever, you can email us. Wes will get that taken care of. But it was really fun to talk with you guys tonight. It was
insightful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, we had a lot of time, man. You guys fucking did. Thank you.